Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kit of Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kit of products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome everybody in to the Adam Carriker Show. I'll start over. Welcome, everybody, into the Adam Carriker Show, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, 4 days a week. All right, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I have a whole lot of fun in the process. Let's see. We got a whole bunch of texts, and we're going to get to those. All right, some of them left over from the captain from the hour before. All right, but make sure you check us out every day live, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Well, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Steve Taylor locks down Wednesdays, noon to 1. Grab your lunch. Come join us. Feed your bellies. And hopefully we'll say something intelligent at some point during that hour, but have some fun in the process. All right, today's a loaded show. The Nebraska Standard is something I want to talk about. I want to get to your text. I want to get the text line going. Also, the AC poll got bumped on Tuesday. Why? Because, Marcus Satterfield's press conference was, shall we say, quite interesting. So we called an audible on Tuesday, bumped the AC poll to today. So that's going to happen in the second segment. And then, if the college football playoff were to happen right now, what would the matchups be? What would they look like? I'm not going to lie to you. The regular season has been devalued to a degree, and there's been some phenomenal games. All right, Alabama and Georgia was a phenomenal game. Ohio State, Oregon. And I know, get the boo birds out. You can boo me, that's fine. But people have not yet adjusted their mindset to 12 teams in the playoff. Everyone's kind of still thinking in this four-team playoff process. Like, oh, you lose a game or two, you might be out. No, you can lose two and still get in if you're from the Big Ten or SEC. And maybe three. I'm still waiting. I guarantee there's going to be a three-loss SEC or Big Ten team compared to a one-loss ACC Big 12 team, and I can't wait to see what happens. Without knowing the teams or the dynamics of that, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to lean SEC Big Ten. All right, the ACC hanging on by a thread. I guess Miami keeps them relevant. The Big 12 is America's conference, the most entertaining conference in America, the most fun, all right, conference to watch, in my opinion, as far as if you just watch for close games, competitive games, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. It's the Big 12 conference. The best football is played in the Big Ten and SEC, and it's not close. With all due respect to all the other conferences, that's just my humble opinion. But I think people are kind of still like, oh my gosh, Ohio State might be out of this, or they might win the Big Ten and then get the seed. But if the top four seed in the first round bye, but if they don't, they might be out. No. Ohio State can easily lose two games and still be in. Maybe three. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how this thing shakes out. But we kind of got to readjust our mindsets. Hey, you can lose more than one game and still get in this thing pretty easy, especially if you're from the Big Ten or SEC. We just haven't been trained to that yet. And I'm seriously curious to see how an 11 seed, it could be Iowa State. Maybe Ohio State doesn't win the Big Ten. Maybe they lose to Oregon again. Or maybe Oregon loses, whoever. You could have an 11 seed Iowa State, conceivably versus 6 seed Georgia would have been the 6 seed last year, just as an example. Georgia of this year, Georgia of last year. I'm taking Georgia plus about 40 in that game, with all due respect to Iowa State. They're having a phenomenal season. They may win the Big 12. Personally, I'm going with BYU, although BYU's getting a lot of lucky bounces on turnovers, but good teams tend to make their own breaks too. But Iowa State versus Ohio State this year. Hope that game's competitive. Sooner or later, we might get trained that those matchups aren't so interesting, and then being that 10th, 11th team ain't quite as exciting to get in as you once thought. Because remember, those four-team college football playoffs, there was a lot of blowouts. So, are we, and there is more parity than there's ever been, I will say that. Like, had we had a 12-team playoff in the past, the bottom 4 to 6 seeds never stood a chance. With NIL and the transfer portal and guys that are going to schools like Alabama, Georgia, and guys who are 4 or 5 stars coming out of high school, they don't want to sit the bench no more. They start looking around and they're like, hey, this school over here will pay me. And all of a sudden that school got better. This school over here will pay me. And all of a sudden that school got better. I think that's why there's so much parity in college football now, at least this season, more than there's been since probably 2007. Since 1936, there's been 1 year where there was a national champion that didn't have zero or one loss, and that was 2007. It was LSU, 2 losses, spanked Ohio State in the national championship game. All right, this year has a lot of 2007 vibes to me, and I'm here for it. But we're going to get to what the college football playoff would look like if it happened right now to end the show today. I do want to talk about, I got a whole bunch of random facts and information. I kind of organized it. So if we start to go through it, it might be a little chaotic, but that could be half the fun. But it's a lot of interesting stuff. But I want to talk about the Nebraska standard, not just in football, but just how Nebraskans tend to be hardworking, things of that nature. And that's what they expect from their football team. And it's one reason they're so passionate. It's one reason that getting better and not digressing. The Huskers almost look like they've digressed to me. Okay, getting better, working hard, doing the little things. That's how Nebraskans are as a whole. And that's what they expect from their teams that they root for. But I want to get to that right after we get, you got a couple of texts there, Jake, that we could interact with. And if you find folks who want to send you your questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, and or otherwise, what's the number, Jake?
402-464-5685, the Sartor Hayman Jewelers text line.
All right. Got a question here or a text?
Yeah, we can get to a few of these questions here, and I might add a little bit here. So 3880 said, Satterfield has had many opportunities. Let me throw it out there. Should Glenn Thomas get an opportunity at play calling?
So when Glenn was first brought here, they're co-offensive coordinators. If you transport back into time when he first was announced that he was coming here as the quarterback's coach, and I pointed this out on my show, The Character Chronicles, all right, that my last one, I think Sunday night when I did a bunch of X's and O's, I said, I've never seen an offensive coordinator, Marcus Satterfield, go from coaching the quarterbacks and be removed to another position. I've never seen that before in my life. Now, in fairness, Rule wanted him coaching the tight ends to begin with. So while it's something I've never seen, that's where Rule wanted him to begin with. It's a little bit unique because a lot of times, this goes without saying, the offense goes through in large part to the quarterback, through the quarterback. And so the guy calling the plays, running the offense, should want to be a guy that has a close relationship with the quarterback more times than not coaching the quarterback. Doesn't have to be that way. Just happens way more often than not. And there's pretty easy reasons to figure out why that might be. But Glenn Thomas gets brought in, co-OC, quarterback's coach, Marcus Satterfield, the tight ends. Immediately, I'm like, who's calling plays? Again, transporting ourselves back in time before we knew what they were going to say about this. And eventually it comes out, Marcus is going to still call plays, but it's going to be a joint effort. To me, you don't hear much about Glenn because Marcus is calling plays. And he's a guy with a great pedigree. Like I've said it before, when Satterfield was brought in, I didn't quite understand why, with all due respect. And I haven't said a lot about him until Indiana because I wanted to wait and see. It was the point I was trying to make on Monday with Frost. When I wouldn't address certain things simply because I wanted to see how they played out. And then I was the one and only guy who sat down and used the F word, the other F word. Okay, if you listen to Monday's show, you know what I'm talking about. When it came to Frost, nobody else did. So it's not that I won't go there. It's that I have no problem being slow to talk about someone's job security. And I will purposely be slow because I've seen and experienced how that affects lives. So when it comes to Glenn Thomas, he's not calling plays. Marcus Satterfield is. That's why Satterfield's under scrutiny. The press conference on Tuesday was wow. So that did not help. Did the opposite of help in a gargantuan way, unfortunately. And that's part of the Nebraska way that I'm talking about. Being prepared. The people that I know, my dad's side of the family, small family farm, blue collar, Giltner, Nebraska. My wife's side of the family. They've had the same family farm for over 110 years. Here's what I know about those people. They're going to get up. They're going to work hard. You can count on them. They're going to work longer. They're going to work harder. If I was to list the 10 hardest working people I know, 5 of them are my mother, father, 2 brother-in-laws, and my wife. Easily, 5 of the top 10. They're also going to come prepared. They don't wake up and just wander out into the middle of the field. Well, what are we doing today? Oh, is it harvest? Is it irrigation? Is it planting? I don't mean to be sarcastic, but they go out with a plan. That was what was so rough about the press conference on Tuesday, being unprepared, just not knowing, and then giving an answer that would have ranked you about the bottom in the country when it comes to yards per play. And having no idea, I knew at the top, I knew Miami was 7-9. I knew Army was number 2. I knew Ohio State was number 4 at over 7.5 yards per play. He doesn't have to know that. I don't know why he wouldn't. But how do you not know your own offense? All right, it's already been talked about. When it comes to answering the actual question, should Glenn Thomas get a chance? I think Ohio State, UCLA. Everyone expects us to lose to Ohio State. I still think we're going to be a pretty decent favorite over UCLA, although that game doesn't look as easy as it once did. I think it's after that game that there's an evaluation, in my opinion, of what should happen. Rule said he doesn't let go of coaches during the season. Cool, got no problem with that. If you're clear about that, you're clear about that. I can respect it. But maybe Glenn, depending on how, and I hope we beat UCLA, I hope we beat Ohio State, I hope we compete, I hope we earn respect, I hope we beat UCLA. But there's a bye week before we play USC. That's when I'm curious if Glenn Thomas might get a chance, depending on what's happening. Because when he was hired, unlike with Marcus, with all due respect, I could look at Glenn's resume and history and be like, yeah, I get it. I get why he's here. I get why he's being brought in to coach the quarterbacks. I get why he's being brought in to be an OC. Boom, right out the gate. Just like Tony White, you knew. At the time, the questions were about the 335, not Tony's resume. So for me, let's see how the next two games play out. Let's see what happens. We're going to have a bye week before USC. And maybe Rule, when he talks about not moving coaches, he doesn't want to change anything until the season's over. Or maybe that's when there's maybe a little bit of a shift in who calls plays. We got to see how the next two games go. Any other interesting texts at this point?
We do have one here. Okay. Big Daddy Travis says, Dylan is struggling, overthrowing, underthrowing, and behind the receivers. He says, start Double H and see how it goes. I wouldn't go that far, but I do want to ask you, let's say you're kind of having a repeat performance of last week. Matt Rule said he left Dylan in to try to fight through it. Do you do the same this week, or do you try to put Heinrich in to see if you can get anything going?
So let me be very, very clear. I don't think anybody's been as vocal about using Heinrich Harburg as me. Have you seen anyone or heard anyone more vocal than me, Jake?
I don't think
so. No. All right. Dylan is our starting quarterback. That is clear. That is plain as day. Also, he's not a Heisman Trophy winning candidate right now or All-American at the moment. So when people look at me and be like, I have some people like that text, maybe he shouldn't even start. I got other people. We can't afford to not have him on the field. No, neither ones are true. Neither one of those are true. It's somewhere in the middle. He's our starting quarterback, but he's not like the guy that just can't come off the field. Let's bring the other guy in, HH, I believe that's what he called him, Heinrich Harburg, who has a unique set of skills that nobody else on the team does. There's not another guy on the team that is a dual threat quarterback. And if you want to challenge his improved passing or whatever, it's improved. How much? I don't know. Haven't really had a chance to see it. But let's use him, especially in certain situations. That's how I would answer that question. That's how I would address that question. Anything else?
I think that's good for now.
So, the Nebraska Standard. That's what the headline of this show is. If you're listening on podcasts or watching on the Tube of You, YouTube. To me, there's a certain expectation. Like when I played, I was a part of good wins. I was a part of bad losses. There's things I'm proud of. There's things I look back on and I want to just smack myself in the face, but there's no point in it because I can't do anything now. But if I could, I'd go back in time and do certain things different. But the one thing nobody could ever accuse me of was not being prepared. As much as I never envisioned my life in front of a microphone. Love it. But back then, as much as I hated doing press conferences as a player, I was prepared to answer. As much as anything, I would show up day in and day out in the weight room. I would show up on the practice field. And you could never question my effort. You could never question whether I was getting better or not. I was always better from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Because if you show up, even on the days you don't want to, and it ain't even about motivation, because some days are harder than others. Some days it's hard to be motivated. Some days you wake up and you're exhausted. Some days you wake up, you don't feel good. Some days you got a whole lot of stuff going on. Some days you just don't feel like it. That's where discipline takes over. Discipline takes over where motivation stops. Some people are more motivated than others. I am easily motivated and very motivated. But there's days I don't feel like it. That's where discipline kicks in. I've always said, and I usually say it to kids that I'm coaching or people working out. It ain't got to be a home run every day, but you got to show up and you got to step up to the plate and you got to swing. Find a way to get on first. Lean over and take the pitch right in the chin if you got to. My point is you show up, you do it, you get better knowing the next day will be better because we're humans and some days we got more juice than others. The Nebraska standard is that you get better. The Nebraska standard is you come prepared. You outwork everybody. Nobody works harder than you. That was always my self-expectation. And yes, I had statistical goals as well. That's what I see when I look at the Nebraskans around me. All right, and everybody's different. But I have so much respect for Nebraskans around me and those that I respect, that's what I see. For me, I look at a couple of things. We have huge wide receivers. All right, we're struggling to throw the ball. We're struggling to get separation. We're struggling to do certain things. All right? But you're huge as far as wide receivers. 6'4", 220, both of them, small tight ends. There's no reason we don't have better perimeter blocking than Indiana. Guys who just got there. So for me, the Nebraska standard is when you put your hand in the dirt as a lineman, you're going to hit somebody in the mouth. It doesn't matter if it's 0-0, 7-7, or 56-7. It never changes. And I'll be blunt with you. I had some coaches throughout my entire life that I loved. And I had some that I did not. There were people that knew me at a certain point in my life where I had a coach I could not stand at all. And I literally said, I've got to overcome coaching. Not that I knew more, but this person almost made me hate football. Single-handedly almost made me hate football. And I looked at my friends, including my now wife, and I said, I've got to motivate myself. And that's what I did. I don't have all the answers. I don't do everything right. But the Nebraska way is you're going to come prepared. You're going to come ready. You're going to be motivated. And on those rough days, you're going to be disciplined. And when the moment sucks, when it's 56-7, 49-7, whatever the case may be, the attitude and effort doesn't change. The resolve doesn't change. And you're striving to control what you can control. It's called controlling the controllables. And you get better each and every day. And you don't even worry about the scoreboard at a certain point if that becomes necessary. Obviously, the scoreboard is a big deal in collegiate sports. But as a general rule, the Nebraska standard, as I've known and I've experienced, it is hardworking people who come prepared and are going to give you everything they got every day. Some days are better than others. That's okay. But you're going to bring it each and every day. And that's what I know I want to see from the Huskers on Saturday and going forward the rest of the year, regardless of the opponent or the score. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to have the second ever AC poll, not the AP poll, the AC poll. And right now I have projected to do some college football playoff projections, but I have a whole bunch of notes that I haven't even touched. Maybe we'll get to that today. Maybe we'll get to them tomorrow. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.